It's our monthly conversation with Murray State President Dr. Randy Dunn. Dr. Dunn, thanks for stopping by.
And another month has come again, hasn't it, Chad? Mm-hmm.
That's right. You're actually fresh back from a trip to Florida, where you were a candidate for the state's education commissioner position there. They ultimately mm-hmm. chose Tony Bennett, the former state superintendent of schools in Indiana.
Yes.
And tell me, what prompted you to make that decision to apply for that position?
Well, there were a couple of things, I guess, that were drivers for me, Chad, one of which is the fact that the job is in my wheelhouse. One of the things that was really interesting about Florida as a system to me is the fact that it's unified. So there's one state education agency that oversees pre-K education all the way through the Florida colleges system. Now, the state universities are not part of that system, but it really is a PK through 16 system. Given the fact that I'd worked as state superintendent of schools in Illinois prior to coming to Murray State, and have also been a university president now for 6 years, it really was a good job fit. For those who may have watched the press on this, I was not initially inclined to go after the position necessarily. It had been posted for some time. The deadline was last September. And in fact, none of us who were named as finalists applied in that first round. But because they weren't happy with the quality of candidates and wanted to cast, a little wider net, the deadline was extended to November 30th. And having been sought out by consultants to take a look at this, all of us who were sent forward as finalists applied on the very last day of the window for applications. And I think the desire of the consultants working on their orders from Florida were to find some contrasting candidates. Clearly, Tony Bennett, who was selected coming out of an election defeat, Indiana actually—
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, the states vary for the state education chiefs. Some were appointed, as was the situation for me in Illinois. Others are elected, and that was Tony's situation in Indiana. So he was beaten at the polls in November and looking for a position. But the consultants were clear that they wanted a contrast in candidates. They'd been given those marching orders by the Florida State Board as well as the Florida governor, I believe. And we certainly represent contrasting views and agendas and ways to approach things. But again, coming back to this first reason, it really was a position or a job opportunity in my wheelhouse. For me, the second aspect is something that we've talked about here before and has been covered in the press to some degree, and that is the case that at this juncture, I don't know whether my contract here will be extended or not. The board did a very comprehensive evaluation on me some number of months ago. That was reported out about 8 months ago. There's been no action to extend or to end my contract, and as I've said publicly, until that determination is made, I have to look at specific promising job opportunities. I haven't been applying for everything that comes up because I don't think I should do that. But as I, shared publicly in other venues, at the same time, until I'm extended, as the clock winds down on my contract, I have to at least keep myself open to other opportunities. And given that situation, went ahead and applied on that last day for the Florida position. So, I can't say I'm drastically disappointed that it didn't happen, although it would have been a very exciting, challenging, and I'm sure rewarding job as was being state soup in Illinois. But what I really do hope is that the board will move with some dispatch and make a determination on the contract.
I mean, you've had the Faculty Senate come together to support you.
Yes.
As president at Murray State.
It was very gratifying. There was a resolution from the Senate which passed unanimously that indicated their support, but more importantly, a desire to be heard on this question, and I was appreciative of their doing that in the spirit of shared governance.
And I understand the Staff Congress has been discussing a similar motion, and I'm not sure if that's passed yet or not.
Well, the Staff Congress, as part of this comprehensive evaluation I underwent about a year ago, had supported a survey that was done, and there was one done on the faculty side too, and it was quite overwhelmingly in support of my work. In fact, if you looked at the categories of, if we call them agree strongly and agree, on some things, I was, you know, approaching 90% of support among staff, which is, you know, quite strong for those types of things, and was appreciative to see that. I think now what they're debating is how to do a resolution, or you know, what action do they take publicly, whether they do it like the Faculty Senate, whether they do another survey, I don't know. And that's up to them. I mean, this is for the constituency bodies to decide, not for me to say they should do anything. But to have the Faculty Senate speak in one voice within our system to show their support for, you know, for the process going forward, on the part of the board was something I was, you know, very heartened to see, and we'll look to the future as to whether it moves the ball down the court or not.
And we should interject here before moving on. Dr. Dunn recorded this conversation on Thursday, and the Murray State Board of Regents on Friday announced an ad hoc committee to review Dr. Dunn's contract and begin discussion about Dr. Dunn's future with Murray State, with a preliminary report to the board in executive session in March. The second in command at Murray State is the chief academic officer, the
yes.
provost.
Uh-huh.
And Bonnie Higginson is retiring at the end of her time this summer. So there will be, or there is there a search committee or a search firm enlisted with the task of finding a new provost at Murray State?
We're using a search committee for this position this time around. Dr. Bonnie, our provost, is actually going to be retiring from full-time employment with the university, but we will have her continue with us on a half-time faculty retirement contract, which a number of outstanding faculty are given that opportunity, and we wanted to make sure that if Bonnie was desirous of staying, we could keep her in the College of Education faculty, and she's agreed to that. So when she made that intention clear, not too long after the start of this school year in the fall, we did have some consideration as to how to proceed. And I talked to some constituency bodies on campus about this to get their thinking, obviously weighed it myself, and made the determination that we would do the search ourselves. To wit, we're not using an outside consultant to run the search, as we actually did last time when we hired a provost 3 years ago.
And it should be mentioned that search firm, the recommendations that they provided to be provost at Murray State, none of those were selected.
That's right. As those three individual finalists were vetted out on campus, there wasn't enough support really for any one of them based upon the campus interviews, and then kind of fell back to me talking to the committee we had in place at the time as to how to proceed. And I knew, you know, Bonnie Higginson was, you know, really outstanding for the position and agreed to take it on a term contract. And Bonnie could have had up to 4 years on the basis of our agreement if she wanted it, but decided three was enough and was ready to go back to the faculty. So this time, what we're doing is just using a search committee to run the process without the aid of any paid consultant. I'd ask Faculty Regent Dr. Jack Rose, who has experience in this arena, having been a former school superintendent, to chair that search committee. We have something like 15 or 16 members on the committee, reflective broadly of the campus, at least in terms of the academic affairs enterprise. All of the academic colleges represented, professional staff and academic affairs represented. And Jack, after meeting with them to this point, has really done a good job of getting them organized on task and getting the word out about this great leadership opportunity as we're in this recruitment phase. Also, when we're in a position of trying to figure out how to save some number of millions of dollars in the university budget, a process that you and I have talked about here, it didn't seem appropriate to me in that environment to be paying anywhere from $75,000 to $100,000 to an outside firm that basically would be charged with helping us get candidates and getting the information out to help on the recruitment side. And this is available as a nationwide search. Internal candidates, individuals who may be working here at the university now and who are qualified are going to be open to apply, as are external candidates, well, literally from around the world, who may be interested in being a provost at an outstanding mid-major public university in the heart of the country. So given everybody's putting the shoulder to the wheel, I really am not worried that we're going to do strong recruitment, get a great pool of candidates, be very careful in particular in our screening of those individuals, and then ultimately work for the campus to get to know two or three or four finalists to make a final decision to lead the university forward in the way that our public expects it to be led.
And your deadline?
Well, the deadline is fairly open, although we would like to have this process pretty well wound up by the middle of April to late April, because we would be looking for a July 1 start. But if not that exact date, certainly within a month or two after that. And I feel very confident that we'll meet that goal.
Hear more from Murray State President Dr. Randy Dunn on Tuesday during Sounds Good from 11 to 1 here on WKMS. We're back with Murray State President Dr. Randy Dunn. We meet monthly on this program, and you can hear the entire conversation online at WKMS.org. We talked about a little bit earlier about the budget planning and review teams that are going on all across campus. We talk about this each month because there are steps in this process.
That's right.
And we're coming up on the time where the university begins crafting its budget for the next fiscal year. And so that would lead me to think that these BPR teams should be or nearing completion of their work.
Yes. Well, we're getting there. Mm-hmm. You are right on a number of counts, Chad. We actually start with the earliest aspects of building the next fiscal year budget, which starts on July 1. We start that work really about this time of year. We had a vice president's meeting a couple of weeks ago, and that was really our initial work session to start looking at some of the large parts of the fiscal year 14 budget covering the 2013-14 academic year. So you're right, that work is underway as an institutional process, as it is about this time every year. Of course, presently, we're adding this overlay of a budget reprioritization process with a dozen budget planning and review teams that are operating here on campus to look at ways that we can think about greater efficiencies, reprioritize some of our programs and services, look at ways to get alternative revenue generation going, and do things generally that will allow us to revisit our business model and make some changes to free up funds within the present system. And you're right, they're at the point now where they've just provided to the Board of Regents kind of a midterm update or a mid-course report. Those groups have been working really in pretty strong fashion starting in September up through now. And then as we come back after the holidays, they're really going to have to redouble their efforts and start to, if you will, come down the chute, working from a very divergent point of view down to making some decisions on recommendations that they'll send up to the board on these issues we've asked them to study to rework the business model. At this point, the calendar would call for us tentatively to have recommendations from those teams to be reported out around February 25th, give or take a few days. So really not much more than 2 months from now. And these will be specific itemized recommendations with either a cost savings amount attached or dollar amount for reallocation or a projection on new revenue that would be provided. So again, this isn't kind of this generalized pie in the sky type of thing. These are going to be very specific, detailed recommendations with dollar amounts attached to them. We'll look for those at the end of February. I want to have a couple of weeks in there and have built the schedule for the spring such that we have that two-week period to do a review of that work. There may be some things that as we do a study and analysis of what comes from these teams at the senior administrative level, some things we may pull off because statutory requirements may not allow something to be done, although we try to keep our teams informed of what they can do and what they can't and the latitude they have. There may be some things we add on, ideas that obviously, we've been looking at from an institutional perspective that maybe didn't get picked up on by any of the budget teams and would add those in. But at any rate, there is going to be an internal review among the senior leadership of the campus on the recommendations. We want to have a couple of public forums for the entire university community to see this list of suggestions or recommendations on program savings, on reallocations, on new revenue, on everything that comes out from the budget and review teams, as well as what I may ultimately recommend as add-ons to that final list of recommendations for the board. So we need a couple of weeks after roughly February 25th to do all of that work. Well, that gets us into a board meeting that we have scheduled on Friday, I believe it is March 14th. It's a regularly scheduled meeting. We would be doing kind of a budget preview then anyway. And what I'd like to have ready for the board for that March 14th meeting is the full list of recommendations, but in draft form, not for decisions that day necessarily, but for them to see everything that's on the docket for the reworking of the budget, if you will, under this review. Then that would still give them a couple of months to think through those recommendations, to do their own analysis, to have conversations with various campus groups, convene conversations that they may want to have, so that as we approach then the next meeting of the board coming into the end of May, we're getting close on the overall budget decision from these recommendations. And it's going to be tight. What will probably end up having happen is the board would make a final decision on the cuts at their regular May meeting. So they get a draft of recommendations in March, have about a 6 to 8 week period to do their own review, continued study. They may want staff to answer some questions for them as regents. But then by the time we hit the May board meeting, be ready for them to act on those decisions, to say this is in, this is out. Then it still gives us a couple of weeks. We'd have to ask the board to hold a special meeting, but that would still give us 2 to 3 weeks to incorporate the board's decisions from May into the final form of the budget that we'd probably have to have the board come back and act on in a special meeting somewhere roughly around maybe the 8th, 9th, 10th of June, something like that.
And lastly, we started our first doctorate program here at Murray State this year, the Doctorate of Nursing Practice.
Right.
And you write a column weekly for our university newsletter. Mm-hmm. And in your recent column, you'd hinted at the Doctor of Education program that you'd like to see implemented here in the education department. I wonder, what's the likelihood of it and what kind of implementation process would we see?
Yeah, you're right, Chad. When we did the Doctor of Nursing Practice adoption a couple of years ago now, I actually shared at that time that my goal for the university would be to see maybe about 3 applied doctoral programs in place. Nursing was the first for us, rightly so for a number of reasons. But I really think there's opportunity probably for a couple of more doctoral degrees at the university. And then that will be about it for some time. We'll come back maybe in the future and rethink that. But the next doctoral degree I think should be in line is a professional degree, the Doctor of Education degree. It happens to be the degree I hold from the University of Illinois, which is an applied doctorate in a specific field, in this case, education. And we've been studying this actually for some time, probably a year and a half at least. But I've kept things on hold until we had a permanent dean for the College of Education. You may recall that we've had interim leadership for a couple of years, and I didn't really think it appropriate to move forward on a proposal until we had a permanent dean in place. That happened as of July 1 this last summer with the hiring of Dr. David Whaley as new College of Ed dean. So now that work is ongoing, and I think we'll soon see a Doctor of Education proposal that I think could be really vital to this region, the multi-state region, in providing a very practically oriented doctoral degree in a field where we need individuals trained at that level. I think, as I alluded to, there's room for probably one more doctoral degree within the near-term to intermediate-term future. What that is, I'm not going to say, but I will share with you, I've got some ideas. I think there are some that exist out there that could be natural fits for us. Again, applied, directed to a profession. These would not be PhDs. But I like to do these kind of one step at a time. So eventually, I hope within the year we'll get the Doctor of Education proposal passed, get it up and going. And these things take money. You know, this is another issue. We've got to pay for these. And we got to seed them until those students come in with their tuition dollars. So we don't have the ability to have massive program expansion. But once we get the EDD going, then we talk about maybe one more to bring into the inventory of graduate degrees. And I think for now that would be the right fit for the university. And we do need to go there. It's time.
Well, Dr. Dunn, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, Chad. Happy holidays.
You too.